Hurts takes the snap. It's a quarterback keeper. He runs up the middle. He scores! He scores!
Big time play right there, Jalen Hurts. And the blocking was exactly what he needs. No hesitation. The ball is snapped. They create that lane off the right side. And Jalen Hurts sticks his foot in the ground, gets to the end zone.
Another touchdown for Jalen Hurts. I believe he passed Cam Newton last night, the most multiple.
That was a nasty. That was a nasty QB draw.
Oh, it was. I think the most games with multiple rushing touchdowns from the quarterback position in NFL history. I mean, this is only Jalen Hurts' fourth year in the league, and he's already there.
The tush push stuff. I mean, like how like 80% of those. I'm not taking that away from him, but like
probably 50%.
I do have to say, like Cam was getting in the end zone
differently,
very differently.
Yeah, and I agree with that. But touchdowns are touchdowns,
yes.
And for last night, Hugh, Jalen Hurts wins, and we kind of forecast this, right? The winner of this game would be the favorite in the NFL MVP race because Mahomes and Hurts were pretty much tied before the game. And you look over at FanDuel right now, Hugh Douglas, and the favorite to win the award is Jalen Hurts at +250. He's the favorite right now.
Yeah, that was a heck of a game last night. And you know, it's funny because, like, now that, you know, we've almost gone through the full day and you listen to everybody talk about it, there's a lot of different opinions about that game last night.
Sure.
And the one thing that I take away from all of this is that Jalen Hurts is a much better quarterback, much, much better quarterback than he was last year.
So here's my question on the MVP stuff, especially for people out there who maybe already bet on Jalen Hurts or want to go bet on Jalen Hurts. I wonder if we're going to have a different kind of award this year because he doesn't have – Jalen Hurts' statistics do not scream MVP. They just don't. I mean, just look at his numbers compared to recent MVP winners. Like, he doesn't have the numbers typically. But, mm-hmm. Hugh, the other part of MVP usually is the number one seed. So here's the way I view this. If the Eagles get the number one seed – hold on to win the division, obviously, and get the one seed. I think he's going to win the MVP. I think this is going to be his award. If he doesn't, though, because other guys have better numbers, it's a weird year for the MVP.
I look at it like this, Joe, and I understand exactly where you're coming from because you could put up his numbers against every other quarterback that has won it in the past. But I think this year is an outlier because of the quarterback play, the fact that a lot of quarterbacks are hurt. And I don't think that it's fair to judge Jalen on what the past quarterback has done.
That's fair.
You know what I mean? Because I think every year in the NFL, because what's the one thing that we've been saying for the last couple of weeks? The play in the NFL has been
down.
It's been like not great, sloppy.
Down,
sloppy.
Yeah.
It's been some bad games, and we talked about that yesterday. So with that being said, I'm kind of moving the line a little bit the way that I feel about the Eagles and you know, the fortunate, you know, mantra or the fortunate thing that we want to say about them and just say, they are finding ways to win because I could sit here, honestly, if I watched every game from this Sunday, I could complain about fourth quarter miscues by coaches, good coaches, all day long. I just think that's the product that the NFL has put out there on the field this year. So I am not going to punish or overly analyze the Eagles because they're doing the same thing. Everybody's doing it.
Yeah, they are.
But they're figuring out ways to win when they're doing stuff that goes against what I feel is traditional football.
It'll be really fascinating to see how the MVP award is actually given out. I mean, the number one seed is typically a big part of it, or a bye, but now there's only one bye, and stats. And right now, I would say, obviously, Hurts has the wins, and he has that. I mean, they're likely going to be the number one seed. He doesn't have the typical statistical resume of an MVP, but yeah, he's the favorite right now, and I understand him. And him and Mahomes were close, and then he beat him last night, so he guessed that. Keith is up next. We go back to the phone lines here. What's up, Keith?
Keith.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Keith. What's up?
Listen, I'm calling because I watched that game last night, and, you know, I'm a Cowboys fan, but I'm a the Eagles are the best team right now. I don't believe there's no such thing as fortunate. The way the Eagles played the Cowboys and the Chiefs, they find ways to win. Some player is always someone on that team that steps up. Whether it's a special team, they say the weakness is the Eagles' secondary, but that secondary plays good when they need to.
Yeah, I agree.
When they have to. So, and even if that's their weakness, you have to have the type of offense to be able to exploit that. If you don't have that type of offense, to exploit the Eagles' supposedly weakness in the secondary, it won't mean anything. And the offense is so good that the offense will get, it makes up for the weakness that they may have in their defense.
That's true. You know what I love? I love that the Eagles have been so good for so long. They've broken Cowboys fans down to the point where you have to admit they're the best team in the league.
You know what?
I like that.
I kind of get where Keith's coming from, man, because it was one year where I felt the Cowboys were the best team in the NFL, and I said that. But then they proved me wrong and did what they
What did they always, make you look like an idiot?
They did what they always do.
Let me guess. They didn't win the Super Bowl.
No.
So I'm just going to guess.
They didn't make it through the playoffs. They got beat by the Green Bay Packers.
In their first playoff game.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's like you try to be, you try to be a grown man and you try to be honest and fair in your assessment.
And look what happened for that.
Yeah, Cowboys let me down.
Until I don't care about the blowouts that we had this year. Until we're able to beat a 49ers or Eagles team, we're not going anywhere.
Well, you're right. Keith, you're dead on. I mean, I think everyone in the end, every fan of football, Keith, we appreciate it. We have broken Cowboy fans. That might be the best part of this really amazing Eagles run the last 30 plus games, that any Cowboy fan with a half a brain realizes they're the best team. And the ones that have less than a half a brain, like, they just lie to themselves. That might be the best part of this whole thing. It's just the broken Cowboy fan.
I got to say, like, now that I've heard that version of a Cowboy fan call and the annoying, like, Cowboy Jim types, like, mm-hmm. We're still better than you, I got to go with, I think the more annoying ones are better.
Well, they're better for the radio.
Well, yeah. I mean, but, like, they get my blood boiling.
Sure.
They get people to call in, like, that was kind of weak. No, I got to be honest.
I like how every now and then you have some that are rational individuals. The rest of them are delusional.
The rational ones are way more rare.
Yeah, and he was that. That's why Keith.
That's why I said they're broken.
Well, yeah. Keith didn't sound like a smart guy.
Yeah, well,
wow, which is unfortunate for Cowboys fans. That's not usually par for the course.
Like, by their nature, Cowboy fans are not very smart. I mean, we know that. I mean, you've been rooting for a team that hasn't won anything in almost three decades now. You can't be that bright. So I get that part of it. But that Cowboy fan, he sees it. He sees the truth here. Andrew's in media. What's up, Andrew?
Andrew.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hey, Andrew. Oh, what's up, pal?
Not too much. Hey, I don't want to digress too much, but I got Hugh, brother, I got to tell you something. Sadly, you and I are in a club that we never asked to be in.
I already know what that club is, bro. Prayers up. Prayers to you, brother.
Yeah, prayers to you. So, and what I wanted to say was, boy, isn't it, are we so lucky to have the right Kelce brother? Because one thing I see, number one, he's over-commercialized. That's not his fault. That's his agent's job. But, boy, we got a real football player, because what I heard last night from him, now, Hugh, correct me if I'm wrong. In your contract, don't you have to kind of talk to the media?
You do. You do. But, there's outliers like, Marshawn Lynch? I'm here, so I can't get fined.
Yes, that was great. Andrew. Yeah, I mean, I think they are required to. And he did. He kind of gave those one word answers, and then at the end, he didn't want to talk anymore.
Well, one thing I wanted to say is he didn't fumble the ball. It was punched out. It was a great hook or a jab. But whatever. What I wanted to say was, how blessed are we to have Jason Kelce? Because he really, to me, he epitomizes Philly sports, and I hope that. Number one, he's got a ring. Maybe it would be great to get him another one. But all I watched last night is he was 10 yards downfield. He was pancaking people like he was 25. And there was some talk a while ago, who's the best Philly, pro athlete, Harper, Kelce. Jason's got to get the top spot.
Andrew, I may put Hurts or Harper ahead of him, but I'm not going to argue with you on this. I mean, he's still playing at a super high level. And, Andrew, we appreciate it. And I'm telling you, I always listen to the broadcasts, especially national games, like an Aikman, right? Romo if it's CBS, but Aikman, I love the Buck and Aikman duo, and I always think it's interesting, Hugh, to hear what they're saying, because they meet with the coaches, of course, before the game, right?
Yeah.
So they're getting some perspective from the coaching staff. Aikman must have mentioned five times last night how he doesn't think Kelce's done. He still looks like he could play at a very high level. And the Eagles would love to have him back. And what, he didn't break any news yesterday, right? Of course, the Eagles would love to have him back. Hugh, I think you're right, and you've been saying this, that Kelce, in his eyes, maybe in his heart, he looks done. he's not done as a player.
No.
I mean, he's. I still think there's a couple years left in that body if he wants to keep pushing. Of course, he's going to do what's best for him off the field.
I'll tell you what. To me, Jason Kelce is in the unique position of being a guy who, at the end of the year, his mind can make the decision for him. It's not his body.
Yeah, because he can still play.
And anybody that understands that, but you understand what I'm saying. When your mind can make that decision, I'm pretty sure he's going to sit down with his wife and they're going to map out realistically what he wants to do. And I would venture to say, because I think he still has young kids, little babies,
three,
right?
They showed, I don't know if you know, you caught it, it was like a quick clip on the broadcast. His daughter was imitating him. So she was like, she was in a three-point stance. You know, she was in a stance. She was pretending to block. Yeah, he's got, I think, three little kids.
And to me, I think that's going to factor in to how he, what quality of life he wants to play with his daughters. I think he has two daughters, if I'm not mistaken.
It might be three. Well, there was just a baby, so I think there was a third now.
I'd just say his kids.
Yeah, right.
So that's going to factor into it because he looks like, you know, great job as a father. Like, great, looks like he loves that job more so than he loves playing football right now. So it's going to be one of those things where, you know, like, he's made the bread. So he's probably going to sit back and just try to figure out what he wants to do next.
We'll see.
And he's going to walk into something. Like, he's not.
Of course.
He ain't going to be. It ain't going to be no drop-off. In his financials, he's going to be out. He'll be out.
Well, I mean, you saw the Amazon stuff last week. I don't think that was for no reason. He's preparing himself for his next career, but he can still play. I mean, he's still playing at a super high level. Robert is at Germantown. Hey, Robert.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up,
Robert?
Man?
So Kyle and I were arguing earlier about his favorite word, the L word. But there's an expression, fortune favors the bold. Do you accept that as true?
Yes. I like that phrase. Yes, of course it does.
Yeah, so I, you know, it was unfortunate that the Kansas City receiver couldn't catch a ball that was dropped into his lap. But we played, Kyle's right, we played well enough in the second half to win. But you remember yesterday I said, the jury for me is still out in our coaching. I think in the first half, Spagnuolo outcoached us. I mean, five sacks against our supposedly best offensive line in the league. The running attack.
And Robert, some of those, it felt like he was sending the McDuffie kid, the corner that was the first round pick last year, he was sending him off the edge. And a couple times, Hugh, it felt like the Eagles weren't even seeing him come. Like they weren't picking up the blitz at all on some of those.
Yeah. And plus, Spagnuolo shut down Brown. Was it one catch, 8 yards, something
yes.
like that?
The quietest game we've seen A.J. Brown have in maybe his whole Eagles career.
Yeah. Thank God for Damon Smith. And, you know, he just stepped up. I mean, we had such a great second weapon there without Goddard in the game, without Calcaterra in the game. But I thought we should use Jones more. I mean, Jones is a big guy. Why doesn't he play a quasi-tight end role?
Julio?
What do you think?
Yeah, no, I don't think. Listen, Rob, I understand what you're saying, but, like, that tight end work is different than that receiver work, and Julio is older. That's a physical game. That's a physical game that everybody ain't built to be a tight end, man. Mm. Like, it's just a different animal.
I'm missing, you know, I wish we had a running back like their running back. You know, they used a phrase on TV, this guy runs viciously. Loved it. You know, that Pacheco kid or whatever his name
is. He runs hard. He really does. And he's given them trouble in two times. I mean, obviously the Super Bowl last year and last night. He runs really hard.
I hate how he runs.
It's unique.
Yeah. It's annoying.
It's different, Robert. I don't know if I've ever seen a running back run like him. He like it feels like he's hurting the ground.
It's like he's possessed. Like he's some sort of like zombie, and he's like just flailing all over the place.
He's wild.
Yeah, but don't you love it? I mean, he's like Jerome the Bettis ran that way. Franco Harris. I love running backs. The old fullback days where they just charge ahead and run over people. Man.
Yeah, it's an interesting comp. But usually the guys that run like that are bigger and like more heavy set. He's not, which is it makes it unique. Robert, we appreciate the phone call. Fortune favors the bold. It was Robert's way of calling the Eagles fortunate.
Yeah, I mean, it's listen, because I've seen all the other pundits talk about it. It could be whatever you want it to be this morning. I think I choose to believe that this Eagles team is resilient. That's the word that I want.
I agree with that. They are.
You know what I mean? Like, if you want to say fortunate, if you want to say lucky, because I'm looking at Twitter and I see people saying that, that's fine, because if you're being honest about it, there's probably some luck in that, because, you know, you go back to the Martez Violet, Scantling play,
MBS
play, and he dropped it. But I will say this to that. He's been dropping a lot of key balls this year so far.
It's his whole career, really.
Yeah, and he's been in that situation. So, yeah, hey, listen, sometimes the football guys smile on you. But the bottom line is this. Eagles are 9-1, and at the end of the day, if we make it all the way to Vegas and win a Super Bowl, ain't nobody going to be talking about, oh, but remember that one time, you know, Dak Prescott almost scored. Ain't nobody talking about that.
Well, no. To your point on the Patriots stuff, and you brought this up earlier, and a caller did, like early in their run, because eventually the Patriots became more dominant, but early on they weren't. They were, that 0-1 team was kind of an average football team that happened to win the Super Bowl because they had great coaching and the quarterback was very clutch. They had moments. I mean, I don't want to bring up a terrible memory for someone who sits in the chair Hugh does 4 hours earlier. The Tuck Rule game. I mean, like, that was fortunate. The Patriots dynasty was built on a fortunate call that 20-something years later, I still don't even know if it was a fumble or not.
I will crush your face.
So, like, it is part of everything.
Like, so, right. That's kind of, like, what my point is. Like, is there luck? Yes, there's luck in every single football game. Like, you can point to moments where there's luck. The Marquez Valdez Scantling thing, the only reason that pisses me off is because we know that he is not a good wide receiver. So, like, replace Marquez Valdez Scantling with Jalen Reagor. If Jalen Reagor drops that ball, are we going, we're lucky Jalen Reagor didn't catch the ball? Like, no. Jalen Reagor does Jalen Reagor things.
Totally.
Bad receivers do bad receiver things.
Totally. The idea of fortune is that they let a receiver get 5 yards past them in the end zone, and there was no touchdown, right?
Sure, right.
Like, 95% of the time in the NFL, just take a snapshot. It's a touchdown.
But where it's not fortune is that Valdez Scantling is a not good wide receiver.
Well, it's his career.
He is a weakness that bit the Chiefs going into the game.
I agree, and that's why I said on the start of the show today, Howie gets credit and why the Eagles are 9-1. The biggest reason for me is they have created a team that doesn't have an acute weakness, and every other team has something that kills them in moments. Like the Chiefs receivers who killed them last night.
Killed them.
The Eagles don't have one area that just destroys them in these games.
You know what's funny? They do. But it's one of those areas where, for whatever reason, it's not sustained. Coach Desai does a great job.
So you mean
job.
The secondary or the middle?
I mean, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
You said
I'm
that.
I'm trying to get
– I'm just – listen, I don't want no smoke.
Name names,
my,
is it
the I don't want no smoke on my Twitter
it's
feed,
the
man.
Well, forget Twitter. It's the middle of their defense that you think is the weakness?
Well, it's somewhere in that area.
Secondary.
Somewhere in that area.
Yeah. Pass defense.
Area. Is it Byard? He had a good game.
Well, he did. He recovered from whatever that first name.
I will.
No, I'm just saying. Like, there were a couple times last night where there was room for exposure, and they didn't get exposed.
I think everyone agrees with you on this. I mean,
yeah.
Like when the 49ers come in here in 2 weeks, right, with all their weapons, right, Kittle and Ayuk was having a good year in Debo. That's what they're going to try to exploit. We all know this right now, and it's going to be a matter of
still getting dragged in fantasy football.
Yeah, you going to fix that at all?
I don't think he can at this point.
Yeah, it might be a lost call.
Are you eliminated yet? Because we have the
don't throw in the towel. We still need to set your lineups because we'll need like
don't be that guy. Yet.
Yeah.
No, I still set my lineups, but it's like, dude, I am getting dragged.
Let me check. Spoiler. Yeah.
So they do have the percentage to make the playoffs chances. Hugh Douglas is at 1%.
Wow, what's Self at?
Self is at 1%. Actually, I don't know if you know this, but Kyle Quinn is at 0%.
I'm eliminated?
You have been.
So I got more of a chance to make it.
Yeah, I mean, guys, we're debating between 1% and 0%, but Kyle's virtually eliminated.
Since when, dude?
Cowboy Jim is up next.
I'm 3-8.
You're kidding me.
What's up, Cowboy Jim?
Give me that news and then bring on Cowboy Jim.
What's up, Cowboy Jim?
I am tired. I landed last night at 4:30. I had to deal with Eskin and his issues. Okay,
how is the name?
All I hear is I have half a brain. Blah blah blah. It's a typical midday show. About half hour before the end of the show, let's pick on the Cowboy fans. Typical. I'm exhausted. Come on, give me a break.
Well, are you also exhausted looking at the standings? Because a chance that your team had to maybe catch the Eagles took a real, real hit last night.
No, it didn't.
Sure,
no,
it did. What do you mean it didn't?
Again, the flaws of the Eagles, the luck of the Eagles. Hey, Kyle, yeah, you're lucky. If you're married, you're the luckiest man in the world. So listen, the Eagles, it's a typical luck. Chiefs, they have no one who can catch a ball, no one who can run a pass route. They had the penalty, that first touchdown that the Eagles got, that was a holding. The ref was right there. He's right there.
Yeah,
it
was a lot of complaining. There's a lot of complaining about the refs last night. But I think, like Cowboy Jim, I think you can complain about the refs either way. Mm. They called a equally bad game for both sides.
Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and what's luck, Jim, is that I put you on the air in the first place, buddy.
Jim, how come your team never seems to fall into such fortune? That's a fair question.
we still have plenty of games to play. Don't you worry about it. Don't you worry about it. You got the Bills and the 49ers. There you go. You're not going to luck out that time.
Well, I mean, the Eagles keep winning. I mean, we do this every week.
First it was the Cowboys, then it was the Chiefs.
I mean, I've said this since the spring, and all they do is win. All right, Jim, we appreciate it. You know what's not lucky, Hugh? Maybe
what's
it is. Actually, it is. It's actually, we're lucky, because today our friends at Primo brought us some lunch.
Primo!
Oh, it was delicious. This holiday season, I got the eggplant here.
Oh, that's nice.
It's very good. The holiday season, put some Primo trays at the top of your list to brighten up any party. Order online at PrimoHoagies.com. It's not just a hoagie; it's a Primo. I know you've enjoyed. What are they called? Like their Thanksgiving.
The Thanksgiving sandwich.
Yes,
that's pretty good.
Well, everything they make is good. Check out Primo's, of course, and we loved getting lunch today from our friends at Primo's. Let's talk to Nick at College. What's up, Nick?
What's up, guys?
Hey, Nick. What's up? What are you thinking?
First of all, Hugh, you used to give O-line and QBs work.
I used to try. I appreciate that.
No, you didn't used to try. You used to give them work.
80 sacks in his career says he did a pretty good job of it.
That was work. Yeah. Let me start with all the positives. So a coach that used to be here said, A, enjoy the win. B, it's tough to get a win in the NFL every Sunday. Okay. And the Eagles are 9-1. I agree 100%, and I'm a positive Eagles fan. But there's so many people that came on today talking about, like they didn't realize that KC could have put 34 points up on the board. And I understand, Kyle, they didn't. They fumbled a football on a 5-yard line. Kelce did. I get that. Mahomes threw an interception when his tight end was wide open to beat Byard, and Byard intercepts the ball because he throws it to his back shoulder. I get that he made the play, and maybe the QB was rushed, and he made a bad throw. But for people to think that this – they played – listen, they won the football game. They're the best team in the NFL. But to use that understanding, does that mean the Jets are better than everybody? Because the Jets beat it. So what I'm saying is one game's result doesn't define what a team is. We've consistently played great. But that game last night wasn't great. They shut them out in the second half, not because they dominated that offense, the KC offense. It's because there were a lot of mistakes made. There were a lot of plays made by the defense, vice versa.
I agree. I think you and I see the team similar. They're really good. I mean, they're a really good team.
And here's my last point.
Yep, but they've had some fortune along the way, certainly.
And you need that to win. Listen, you need that to win any type of championship, because ask the four aces what they did 2 years in a row. They didn't win. So this is my whole point. I don't care about none of this nonsense. If this team doesn't win a championship, then all this is not – all this talk week to week and this and that, at the end of the day, Bill Belichick hasn't done anything for 36 months since his quarterback left. And if you're trying to tell me this coach has been here 24 hours or 24 months is the best coach in the NFL because he just got two or three good wins and he has 22 unbeaten record against winning teams. These are all great stats. If we don't bring Vince Lombardi home this year or next year – hit the road, Jacks. Like, I don't care. Like, all these things are sticking up my ass. They don't make me happy. Yes. I need a win.
All right, well, that's – you know what? And you – it's interesting, Nick, and we appreciate the phone call, because they keep putting the Eagles up with these greatest runs in NFL history. Mm-hmm. And every time I see the graphic, one of the years of that team had a Super Bowl attached to it. So I agree with Nick on this. None of this matters unless they get a championship.
That's what it's all about.
That's it.
I mean, because we're talking about a great run that you're on and all this other good stuff. But if you're not hoisting on Lombardi at the end of the day, it don't matter.
And that's when Sirianni will get his credit. To go back to a caller we had earlier, Ken, who really does believe in Sirianni. I think he's a good coach. I don't feel greatness when I watch him, but he's good and he wins a lot. Then he'll get his flowers when he wins a championship. 215-592-9494. We got to give love to a part of the team that hasn't been talked about much today. And really hasn't been talked about much this year. They deserve it. So that's next. Plus, Hugh's going to do some I Told You So's. It's the Midday Show. Right here on Sports Radio 94 WIP.